Hallelujah. Somebody just shot the devil. If you hear any more, that's his, the imps that are going with him too. It's good to see my grandson Jordan here. Amen. See him. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sandy, you're in a good place, right? You like this place, right? Home. I'm glad Sandy came back from Alabama. Yes, we are glad. Hallelujah. Dave called me just before Christmas again and had to check on us. He just wanted to talk about his blessing down here. And it's about the second or third call that he's made to talk about that. Now, this man doesn't give out, compliments real lightly. But there was something that came on him and changed him while he was here. And part of what happened to him while he was here was, he describes it as kind of what was already here in presence and what we had worshiped in. So I'm thankful. Hallelujah. We're on a good route, good place. Hallelujah. How many enjoy that presence? I'm so glad that that particular limb, as we describe it, came on in our lives a few years ago. Now it's, we say a few years, it's probably been 10. I've known some of you a lot longer than what I realize. And we start talking, I'll say, yeah, we did that a couple of years ago, and it's been 10 years ago. So time is going by real fast. But I was always a worshiper, but about the longest I ever worshiped was about an hour. Sit down privately. And don't get me wrong, that's good. That presence will come. But I remember upon hearing Pastor Dave teach, and this has been 7 or 8, 9, I don't know how many years ago, when I came home and started going in there and seeing what I could do to prolong that into past my normal. My first hour, I was used to that. God was in it. Like, wow, presence. And it was wonderful, and it was giddy, and it was like, he's here. God's all up in, but you know when you start extending yourself, you get into new territory, it feels like God takes a vacation. It's like, oh, wow, where did he go? And why did he do that? I was just telling him how much I loved him. When it says that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared, 2 Corinthians 2, it's not talking about the sweet by and the pie in the sky. It's talking about everything that's part of your inheritance. That whole thing is about inheritance. But, the next scripture says, but God has revealed them to us, the born-again spirit, by His Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but that Spirit that He put in us, which is our new nature. That's how the Holy Spirit gets things across to us, because now we've got the DNA programming for it. When you were a beer drinker and a bar visitor, prior to you getting born again, you could not have worshipped Him as such. Because you had nothing to worship Him with. Then you get born again and you have something inside of you that can really get to know God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but this is what your spirit is contained in. Power, love, and a sound mind. The Greek says a disciplined mind. So I'm going crazy. It's impossible. You want to? No, but I am. No, you got to want to. I'm going crazy. No, you do want to? No. Well, that you've got to make yourself. It's just like hating people. as a Christian? You've got to lean into it, because the new nature, if you spend any time with God, the new nature will vomit up that. It'll throw it up. You can't rest real good. Before, you could be mean and ugly and lay down, and it was fine. But you know you're born again is when you're grumpy because you haven't forgiven. The new nature won't let you go on being happy, not being nice. And so love is like born again nature, you were sectioned off before then. Your spirit was. But now the DNA, something has been pulled out and something has been put in. You're a whole lot now, like Smith Wigglesworth used to say, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. I can handle. You really can now. You should become, you know, those of you that are aspiring to become wealthy, you should become a millionaire. Why? Because you can handle 10 times the stress now. Why? Because if you learn how to displace it on the Holy Ghost, then your mind can stay pristine enough to go forward into, and you're not getting caught up in the draft. You're not getting caught up in the traffic. You're not getting caught up in the wash. You can go forward in what makes sense. So the devil's really getting killed tonight. I love it. But the main thing about your spirit, the one of the most beautiful things about it is it's just like a grandparent when they fall in love with that first grandchild. Now, I'm speaking as a grandparent now because that's the main people in my life, you know. My daughters were, now the kids that they're giving us. It's like you just, when you hold that child, you think, my God, this swells your heart. And then another one comes along, and it wouldn't matter if there were 50 or 100. Every one of them can carry an equal occupation, an equal occupying of your heart. Your heart's never limited. There's never a place. And that's the same way in the kingdom of God. Because that's who your Father is. It doesn't matter how many billions of children He has. He loves them all the same because that's who He is and that's who you are. That's the DNA you have. But the beautiful part about that is that DNA has the capacity to pool. In other words, it can reservoir great, great downloads of His love to you. Now, I can tell you this with all honesty, and this word, Barbara's got word in front of her. I'll grab hers. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. I've seen people leave the church. The reason why is they didn't have enough word in them. Word will keep you stable. Word will keep you strong even when you're ready to go. No, I'm not going to leave. Why? Because His word says so. That's it. Praying in tongues inoculates you against deception. It'll inoculate you against getting stupid. I didn't say that, did I? Weird. We're just weird. Just real weird. Dumb. I mean, goofy. I mean, just always up there and never down here where everybody's at. Jesus was down here where everybody was at. You know, I think when they come in here in the days ahead and watch arms and legs grow out, that's going to be cool enough, I think. I mean, what more are you going to do? Fly around on saucers or something? Praying in tongues will keep you cool. It'll keep you... But let's see, what's one I'm missing? Let's talk about fasting for just a moment. Nobody's going to fast right now. Nobody's going to ask you to fast right now because if I'm leading you, I'm not fasting and I'm not going to. But the day and hour is coming again. I can feel it right around the corner. Fasting had some of the strongest effects in my life of getting the mean out of me. Getting meanness out of me. And just also, I know another thing that went with fasting, fear. I couldn't find fear anymore. And worry was hard to do, especially after longer fasts. So it has a tremendous purging effect to the flesh. And if you're having something like something keeps badgering you to sin, it has a tremendous purging effect on that. The want to will go away. Now, a lot of things in my life I've had to just like, you know, suffer and not. But I like it when the want to, when it gets all the way down to the want to. Then you don't have to want to anymore. You don't have to want to discipline yourself anymore. It's just pulled out of there. And so we've done all that teaching from the Word of God. But this is all prefacing and building up to the advertisement of what we just did. Nothing in all of those things that I still do, that I must continue to do, did more for me about presence and His love coming to me and filling me up and also making room for me to love You more than worship. Spending time. And when I got past those first times where I got past my sphere of comfortableness and I got out into, and I'm not going to say how long those times were, but when I got past my first hour and said, I'm going to do this, and I felt like God left, and sometimes it felt like the devil came. Worship, private worship, extended, almost has a purging process like fasting, because it allows you the opportunity to die to the flesh. Now, wherever you're at, any of you, in private worship, what is private worship? Just in case you're wondering, it's you and the Holy Spirit alone, and you saying sweet words of edification to Him and to God the Father and to the Holy Spirit, and you pouring out your heart and allowing Him to touch you with His love, so that there's an atmosphere being built inside of you and a rapport that's going on. You're expressing yourself. The Bible says this, that God inhabits the praises of His people. In other words, He will come to dwell in. There's something about you loving Him. There's something about when you start hugging your wife or hugging your husband or telling your friend how much you appreciate them. When you're doing that, there's something that takes place. There's an atmosphere that takes place. And when I began to move past those places, I thought for a while maybe the devil had come. I really realized after a while it was me dying. It was that place of the flesh. I had gone this far, and if 30 minutes used to be my perimeter, once I got to 35, 45, or an hour, it was like, whoa, I'm dry now. Let's go back to something else. Let's go back to the Word. The Word works. Let's go back to confession. Confession works. Let's go back to something that feels comfortable. Do you know sitting reading your Word is wonderful? I encourage it. But if God asks you to go into a season of worship, even if it's dry, because there's something inside of you that needs to break down under His love, even reading the Word for long hours is not God's best for you at that time. Sometimes He'll put you on a season to say, would you like to know My love and My peace like never before? And you'd said, yes. Then I would highly encourage you that you would spend some time in the next season of your life, going into this next year, in some levels of private worship where you're allowing the Holy Spirit to come and saturate your senses. What you're going to find out is an atmosphere comes with it. Once you initially begin to break through past that membrane of comfortableness, then an atmosphere will come with it where that you will feel His presence in ways, and really what happens is you begin to see Him for His worth. Then you begin to see why. Before, it's like, what's the big deal? Why is it that people really feel like they've got to express themselves and go into God? We said this the other night, and I hope you never lose it for the things that are worthwhile. But there are times in a person's life that they see the worth. When a young lady or a young man falls in love, oh boy, they keep themselves looking good. And you'll see an older person who's going through, maybe they've not been married or maybe they got married and divorced. They'll drop 30, 40 pounds because they fell in love. Well, why didn't, you know what? If they'd have dropped that 30, well, I'm not going to go there. But it's motivation. It's the motivation of your heart. And it's what you see as what's important to you. Now, if Jesus Christ and Him getting close to you, but you can't see that in your flesh. But once you step into that room and see how much He loves you and the peace of God comes, then you'll go after it every day, even when it's hard. Would you just lift your hands and just worship Him for just a few moments? Father, we love You. You are so worthy of praise. We exalt You, Jesus. We exalt You, Jesus. We exalt You, Jesus. You have provided the blood for us, Father. And You've provided a place to get to know You. So we thank You for it. We thank You for it. Lord, invade our lives. In this coming year, invade us in ways that we have never, ever give You the opportunity. Let us fall in love with You. Father, in Jesus' name. Let us come to know You and hunger and thirst after You like never before. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory. We're going to take communion in just a few moments. I'm going to ask also before we do that, I don't have... Howard, would you put the offering buckets up there? Somewhere during this evening, if you have, if you could remember the church, and you have the opportunity to do so, the last couple of weeks we have not been having Sunday services, so we would appreciate anything that the Holy Spirit speaks to you to give tonight. It would be a tremendous help. Hallelujah. We exalt You, Jesus. We exalt You, Jesus. We exalt You, Jesus. Bless You, Jesus. We bless You, Jesus. So worthy, Jesus. We exalt You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Paul said, concerning the communion, he said, "For this I have received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This is the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man be hungry, let him eat at home, that he may not come together unto condemnation. And then he said, "The rest I will set in order when I come." Paul instituted in the body a beautiful part of the Lord. But the Lord left. And with that was a communion. The Word of God says, and I have to read this to you. Wednesday night we were at a place in His Word. Ephesians chapter 3 says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." This is what Paul, the same author, wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and going into 13. He says that there would be no divisions in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and that of teachers, miracles, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts, healings? Do all speak with tongues, or do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And this is, he's talking, he's saying this, that the same way that we would covet to speak in tongues, to prophesy, he says this, "Though I speak in tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, that is love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffers long. It's kind. It envieth not. Love is not puffed up. It vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemingly. It seeks not its own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things and endureth all things. Love never fails. But where there is prophecies, they'll end. Where there are tongues, they'll cease. Where there is knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. When Paul wrote and said that if we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. For many eat of this bread and take of this cup, and they do not rightly discern the Lord's body. And when he was talking about that and speaking of that, he also listed that in the same place that we just read, that if one is failing, then we're all failing. If one is hurting, we're all hurting. If one is rejoicing, then we're all taking in. There is a spiritual body, and there's an actual glorified body. The spiritual body is what we are, and we're all part of his spiritual body. Jesus has a glorified body. He's really there in heaven, but we're part of that. And when he was talking about that we sometimes do not rightly discern, and he was talking to the church, he was talking about that when you think about what this body was broken for, see, this was one loaf, but now it's two, but that's the way we have to serve it for everybody. But when it was together, it was one, and we break it so we can serve one another. But his body was broken so that you and I don't ever have to be broken from each other. And the discerning that he is talking about is that we're looking at this and saying, wait, this is broken. So if this is broken, this speaks of him. He was broken. And when I'm thinking about him, I'm thinking about that he was broken, but he was my substitution. Whatever it is that will come tomorrow or next week or in the middle of this year or in July or August or September of this year that will be a schism or something that will offer the opportunity for me not to love you, I've got to remember one thing. Love never what? It never fails. The one thing that never fails is his love. And if I can hide myself inside of him in a place where I continually understand that my DNA, this is who I am. This is who I am. I wish we had the opportunity for Homer to get up. I heard him talking a little bit tonight. And he's right. There's no... there is, but there isn't. But we'd have to take time. There is no secret place, because we've all got the secret place. It's our new nature. And what I was talking to you tonight about feeding that new nature, I beg of you, I implore you, if you want more peace than you've ever had, go away from here tonight investigating and saying, what are you asking me, Father, in time for private worship? Mommies will never be the best mommies until Jesus comes and shows them how to be the best mommy. Daddies will never be the best daddies. You're not going to be asked, please don't ever start feeling like God's going to ask you something that he's, this is what I do. This is what I do for a living. My greatest days are to spend all day with him. But he's going to ask you to give him a portion of your day to become who you're supposed to be. And if you'll do that, man, I've gone home before and Candy has said, you got to sit down. I got to tell you what he's told me today. What he's given me today. And when she would read to me what I would see the beauty of it. The one thing that cannot fail is his love for us. And the more that you choose in 2012, I don't know what this year is going to hold. I know at the end of it, in the political world, there's an opportunity for a change in Washington or for America to stay like we are. I think we're going to see the telltale signs of if America once again chooses to vote their conscience. Well, they didn't have much of a conscience last time. Even the preachers didn't. The preachers didn't. But for you, I can tell you, change. If you say, God, I want you more than I've ever wanted you before in my life, and I'm asking you that as I take the bread tonight and as I allow you to cleanse me and wash me, Lord, I'm asking you also to help me to get to know you like I've never got to know you. And if there's anything inside of me, if there's any floating virus on the inside of me that just still doesn't love my brother, then I'm asking you to take me to a place where love is the strongest capacity. It's the strongest enzyme inside of me. It's the strongest thing, because one thing about it is, if love never fails, you can't fail either. You won't fail either. You'll be here when revival starts. Hallelujah. You'll be a big part of it. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to come forward and then find a place to pray and then receive the body and the blood, the replicas of it, at your own desire. And then I don't know where that's going to take us into time-wise, but we can fellowship some more. And if you have an offering to give tonight, then we appreciate it so much. But would you stand with us, please? Guys, would you come? Just find a place, an altar to pray and receive it as families, receive it as friends. Bring in the new year just asking God for a new place of worship and fellowship in your life. When you get ready, you can come down and find a place to pray. And then we'll pray and then don't leave. We'll hang around together and see the new year in. But come down. You're ready. Come on down. Be blessed.